This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Billy Stats here with Fox Sports Knoxville, and I'm here to tell you DraftKings Sportsbook is not only my favorite sportsbook, but it's America's top-rated sportsbook. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN when you sign up to turn $1 into $150 in free credits. Bet on the basketball team of your choice to win the next game, and if they do, you will claim $150 in free credits. That's promo code FANRUN in all caps for a limited time and only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Tennessee only, restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.
Of the drive underway, Fan Run Radio. Top 4-4 this afternoon brought to you by our friends at Blue Water Climate Control. Here's Jake Miller.
Number one, three-star center Hanji Tamba of Knoxville Catholic has reclassed to the 2021 class and will enroll at Tennessee and play for the Vols.
Exciting stuff for the program. So all 13 scholarships now accounted for heading into the year. Rick Barnes did a real good job managing that, in my opinion. We'll be joined by Tamba at the top of the 5 o'clock hour. About 60 minutes right here on Fan Run Radio, so be sure to tune in to that. Never spoken, never met this kid before. Looking forward to conversation.
Number two, Ryan Spikes is one of the Vols' top commits from this class and has yet to sign with the Tampa Bay Rays. If he does not sign by August the 1st, most likely will end up in Knoxville.
Woo! Be nice.
And he's shortstop, right?
Yes.
So he would most likely slide right in. We signed some nice infielders, man. You got
Coach did a really good job after the season of addressing the holes in the lineup and restocking.
He's like a one. He's like Rodney Garner on the baseball diamond. He's bringing in recruits left and right. We still got Steenstra coming back, so that would be cool. If and it's just a cool name, Ryan Spikes.
That's a baseball name.
Come on, dude. That's fantastic.
One second, Russ.
You take your time, buddy. What, oh, wow. Here we go. All right.
Number three.
Let's go out to Tokyo.
The lack of storybook endings for the USA continue as Japan blanks the United States 2-0 to win the gold in softball.
We lost to Japan in softball?
Yeah.
It's an outrage.
With Monica Abbott on the mound.
Oh.
That one hurt.
Total debacle. And somebody's going to have to explain this Simone Biles. Somebody's going to have to explain this to me. She just quit?
Well, no. Let's go ahead and skip to number four, because that's what it is.
Oh, okay.
The debate.
Go ahead.
The debate is raging on social media after Simone Biles suddenly withdrew from competing in Thursday's team final. Biles said Monday in an Instagram post that she feels the weight of the world on her shoulders, causing many to speculate on the motivation behind her withdrawal. When asked if she was injured, Biles responded, "No, just a little injury to my pride."
So she quit.
Well, they had bent the rules that were not in her favor, and they were afraid of other gymnasts hurting themselves, sure, trying to keep up with what she was trying to do.
It's a complete joke, and it goes against the laws of sport, what they've done basically since she's better than everybody else. They told her she couldn't do her her moves,
her normal routine,
because the other girls That's on lame. The other or ladies on the other teams couldn't do them. They're afraid they're going to get hurt when they were trying them.
That's their own fault.
Exactly. I mean, what would happen if you imagine that in the NFL, if they told Peyton he couldn't have he couldn't do certain things because other quarterbacks couldn't do them?
Well, we did.
It's an outrage.
We did tiger-proof golf courses in the early 2000s. Remember when Tiger was just murdering everybody and the golf community's response was to lengthen out the courses?
It's like the Jeff Gordon rule in NASCAR, to where he wouldn't win as many titles.
Until that's a little bit different, son. until his wife buried an 8-iron. Tried to bury an 8-iron in his head, and then everything went to hell. But Tiger proof and golf courses really didn't work that much for him.
So it's really just the gymnastics community screwing this gal over. And I still don't understand why she just didn't compete.
I'd say she's
it was
under
a slap
an incredible
in the face.
Amount of pressure, Russ. You know?
Yeah, it's the Olympics. Yeah, you're under an incredible amount of pressure. Why did you quit?
I mean, can you blame her?
Yes. If you're not hurt and you're just not it sounds to me, and again, I didn't see it.
I mean, did you wake up today and decide just to be the biggest jerk in the world? Are you taking shots at little Simone Biles now?
I'm just seeking to understand. Because when I woke up this morning, it was that she had injured herself and pulled out of the event. And the injury was shrouded in mystery. It's like, oh, is this like Carrie Strug when she sprained her ankle or something? Like, it must have been a pretty debilitating injury. And now, it's not what we're hearing. She said there's no injury. Her pride was hurt. So I'm just trying to understand what happened.
Imagine if someone came in and told you, Russell, you're no longer the star of the show. You're going to say five words per show, Bear's taking over, and Jake's going to be the co-host.
I might surprise Russ, but there's some people that might like that.
I don't see the analogy playing. I mean, I get
you're too good. You're not allowed to be good anymore. Somebody else has to win gold.
I gave it to Russia. More that how much these athletes spend practicing their routines, and she gets to the Olympics, and all of a sudden they're not allowing her to do her normal routines. She's having to change it up on the spot, and the pressure cooker of the Olympics.
Well, now, why not say that? Why not get up on a soapbox and say, listen, this is not okay. They're screwing me over. I practiced my entire life for this. I dominate this sport. And then they get over here. Like, if she did that, I think we had that conversation. I think a lot of people would be rallying to her defense. But there seems to be an element of she's taking her ball and going home to this as well. And I don't know where the truth is, but it does seem like it's maybe somewhere in the middle. Is that fair to say?
Probably.
And it's just it's a shame, right? Because, I mean, she's the big name in that sport, and this is what everybody was wanting to see who watches gymnastics.
I mean, she's the biggest name in the Olympics.
And now a sad way for it to kind of go out with a
whimper.
Well,
I mean, she that was just a team competition. She may still be able to do the individuals. So what's even weirder is the fact they banned the Russians because they've been, you know, doping up like the WWE on PEDs, yet still there's a ton of them there, and they're allowing them to compete.
Let me ask you this. This will be our Rickard Rich Barbecue Smoking Hot question. If I were to say to you, you're going to have all the resources at your disposal. And this is for folks who are still, you know, age, we'll say 18 to 40, which as of tomorrow does not include me. But we will say you have the next 4 years to spend training for any Olympic sport. All right?
Okay.
From track and field to softball to skateboarding, I saw, is now an Olympic sport. That one's pushing it. I mean, come on, really? But you got 4 years to spend training for an Olympic sport. What sport do you think you could jump into, spend 4 years training for, eating for, preparing for, and have a shot to get out there and make a team, not embarrass yourself?
Skeet shooting.
That's just shooting a gun? Shooting the little discs?
Shooting clay pigeons.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I'm physically a wreck. There's nothing that I could do other than maybe skeet shooting. I couldn't imagine trying to shoot a shotgun right now. It's about as my chest and shoulder hurt, but that would be the one for me. My sprinting days are over.
What about riding a horse? It feels like if you're a smaller.
With my balance issues.
I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about, like, if you're a smaller person in reasonably good shape, I feel like you spend 4 years doing that every single day, you could participate in equestrian.
Most of those people have been practicing and doing it all their lives. It's not just 4 years.
I feel like for Winter Olympics, definitely the luge or the skeleton.
You could.
I don't know that I could, but don't get me wrong. I mean, it would be terrifying, but come on.
Four years to kind of figure it out.
Like, I think pretty much anybody
could
do that.
I think I could be the first guy in the bobsled, the driver.
Yeah.
I really do.
That guy doesn't have to run and jump in, right? He's just driving.
No, he's just got to steer the thing.
Yeah, I mean, anybody could do that.
Put me down for diving.
Diving?
No. No way.
Did you see what kind of shape those dudes are in?
A lot better shape than me.
Like 3% body fat.
But if you, I mean, if you committed yourself, you could get there in 4 years.
The fattest gold medalist in Olympic diving history.
Yeah. Oh, so you don't want to get there. You just want to show up with your belly hanging over your Speedo.
Yes, my hairy belly hanging over my Speedo.
And just, what are you going to do, the cannonball or something?
Belly flop.
Belly flop off that.
5-star frog splash from 20 feet up.
All right, the top 4 at 4 by Jake, brought to you this afternoon. Blue Water Climate Control, East Tennessee's locally owned, veteran-owned and operated HVAC specialists. Homeowners all over East Tennessee are more comfortable because of calling Blue Water Climate Control. Blue Water now offering a free home comfort audit. You hear the commercial with Houston talking about this very cool thing they do that allows you to just analyze all the different rooms in your home, find out why that one room, you just can't get it to cool down, or maybe there's that one room that's an ice box. They will take a look at your system, take a look at your ducts, and figure out exactly what's going on and find solutions. If you have any airflow problems, temperature gradient issues, zoning, high humidity, things like that. One customer, for instance, spent thousands of dollars trying to lower the humidity in their room. That can cause all sorts of problems. I'm talking about mold and all sorts of issues. They end up calling Blue Water, and they were able to lower their humidity by 20% for a fraction of the cost that another company charged. And they were able to do it using equipment that particular customer already had. Stories like this abound. Go online. You'll see story after story about satisfied Blue Water Climate Control customers. BlueWaterClimateControl.com. Call to book your free home comfort audit today at 865-299-2290. That's 299-2290. Or just go online to BlueWaterClimateControl.com. Yep. The Olympics, I'll be interested to see what the TV ratings are for this.
They've been in the tank.
Well, part of the problem is it's so spread out, you don't know what's going on. A lot of people don't have the Peacock app, and so they're just like my parents, for instance, they'll watch the Olympics on a random weeknight, right? But they're not fussing with the Peacock app. Like, they're trying to get cable together as it is. Like, they're not going to go and bring up the app and enter the username and the password. And then so I think that's a problem for a lot of people. And they've got it spread out. You'll see some of those events on like totally random channels, right? I think.
Yeah, the main sports are on NBC.
Yeah. Well, they should have had. They should have just had. All right, these are the three channels it's going to be on. We're going to have the main stuff is on Peacock. The secondary stuff is going to be on NBC Sports Network, which I think pretty much everybody has access to, right? And then the far out crazy stuff, your skateboarding, your equestrian, your ballroom dancing, that's going to be on Peacock. If you really want to watch that, you're going to have to look
for it. Either that or they show it late night on NBC. But yeah, but like the swimming, the gymnastics, that's all going to be on NBC, not Peacock. I think you may have misspoke.
So, Simone Biles. And this is her last run, right? She's got to be a little older.
Yeah, I'd say so. Yeah, she's 24 now.
She's getting up there?
Yeah.
Going to get our friend Josh Pate on the show here in just a second. Now, Josh is probably a much better target for this Rickard Ridge Barbecue smoking hot question because he's, I think, a few years younger than us. I think he's mid-30s, maybe even early 30s, and he's in pretty good shape. He's always talking about how he's coming back from the gym. I feel like every time we talk to him, he's coming back from the gym. Like he's the kind of guy that could You give him 4 years, unlimited resources, you know, private chef, going to cook all your meals, personal trainer, elite practice facilities. He could get in to some of this stuff.
Possibly.
Man, these Texas people have an ego, don't they?
Yeah, did you see where they're wanting us to give up the UT? Yeah, we'd license it to them west of the Mississippi.
No. If Danny White, the UT people, our UT people, give that up, they ought to be fired immediately. We don't give an inch to these people. I don't care how bad we've sucked, right?
Yeah, that's the one thing with Texas. With them coming in the league, they need to make 100% sure that, you know, we need to clip Texas's, you know, we need to clip them.
Well, I
understand they're not coming in here. This ain't the Big 12. Know your role.
Can we haze them? Oklahoma, oh, too. We ought to make them wear a yellow stripe their first year in the league, like in NASCAR, right?
I'm all for some hazing.
Of course, the one guy who is in a fraternity is all for the hazing on the drive.
Oh,
that's a big surprise. We're not talking about blindfolding them and paddling them in some sort of weird quasi-satanic ritual, Jake. We're talking about some wholesome family hazing, you know.
Well, that's no fun.
Make it where... Yeah, like Butch. Remember Butch had the black stripe on the helmet. You got to get your black. You got to earn the black stripe being taken off your helmet.
God, he was an idiot.
People liked that gimmick while it was going on at first. They liked it until they hated it. Go through the practice reports. Your Rocky Top report brought to you by the Kregner Group every day. Oh, this guy got his stripe taken off. This guy got his stripe taken off. That means he's going to be good. Remember there was that one year, there was one guy, I can't remember who it was, and he was a fairly highly touted recruit. I want to say he was like a 4-star or something. And he just never got his stripe taken off. We got deep into the season, and it almost became a running gag. So-and-so going to get his black stripe taken off. I want to say he was a tight end. I can't remember.
I know what you're talking about.
Well, yeah, I know who you're talking about. I can't remember the kid's name.
Whoever Butch Jones's J.J. Peterson was. That one guy we all get excited about never works out.
Yeah.
All right, so you've got some homework now. What Olympic sport could you enter and make an appearance in, and how can we haze Oklahoma and Texas to make them earn their spot in the SEC? I think we're making this a little bit too easy on them. Just myself here. I think we need to make it earn it. And this crap about Texas wanting to be the only UT, what, we're just going to be TU or something? We don't exist over here? The hell out of here with that crap. Pardon my language. Stay with us. The drive continues. Josh Pate, 247sports.com, coming up next right here on Fan Run Radio. Welcome back. The drive continues. Fan Run Radio. Russell and Bear cruise along with you. Tuesday afternoon edition of the show. Josh Pate, 247 Sports, joining the show. Good afternoon, Josh. How are you, sir?
I am in a very, very big time family squabble. You asked me how I'm doing, so I got to take 30 seconds and tell you. So
go ahead.
Conference realignment. That's the big story right now. Everyone's sucked into it. So I get an email from a listener this morning. I do a Q&A mailbag podcast every Tuesday and Thursday morning. And so the listener is just grade A mad that he's being drawn to a wedding on a Saturday this fall. We've all been there before.
Yep.
And he asked for advice. He sent me family screenshots where they're all fighting amongst each other. And he said, feel free to use this on air. Give me some advice. How do I get out of this? So I did what I do. I spoke my piece on fall weddings. Well, apparently he used the advice. And now the family is being torn apart at the seams, and he's being kicked out of the wedding as best man. And I have been unwillingly drawn into this. And I'm not saying it's as big a story as conference realignment, but in my world it is.
Oh, man. Any Southern fall wedding, I mean, that's just it's starting off on a bad foot. I think we all know that, right?
Yeah, and they tried to pull this on him. Like, they go to all the trouble of booking the venue, which we all know is worth an arm and a leg in the fall on a Saturday because there are enough sick people that schedule fall weddings. They try and pull the, it'll just be 15 minutes, guys, which is a lie. Maybe
what?
15 minutes Celsius, however, like a sundial 15 minutes. There's no way.
It's I had a very close family member recently who I love unconditionally, who got married in the fall, and it was on Tennessee's off week, and they're like, that was their excuse. Oh, it's on the off week. And I just like, dude, don't you see this actually makes it worse? It's the one, you know, we do a post game show here. We're working on College Football Saturdays. That's the one Saturday of the fall that I get to just sit at home in my sweatpants, kick my feet up, potato chips all over my T-shirt, and just completely veg out watching college football. And you've robbed me of that now.
Yep, and then they kick in with the, well, that makes you selfish. And that's when you got to drop the hammer on.
Oh.
And the hammer I have found to be effective is you're making the mistake of thinking that your wedding is as important to everyone else as it is to you. And at that point, you need to turn and run. You got to get out of the room, but you have made the best point of the conversation.
Oh, man, Josh Pate with us here this afternoon. And, college football likely to only be getting more intense now that Texas and Oklahoma are coming to the SEC. Josh, we spoke with you last week. I believe it was a week ago today, and the news drops on Wednesday last week. I think that's right. A lot has transpired since we last spoke. Your reaction to everything that's gone on the last 6 days or so?
Well, I equated it the other night on the show to trying to get your bearings in the middle of an earthquake. You know, a lot of people, for example, in my own mailbag, they ask, well, how do you think the conference is going to be split up? Are we going divisions? Are we going pods? What's the Big Ten going to do? What's the ACC going to do? Look, the short answer is, I don't know. And I'm telling you the same thing that if a conference commissioner like Bob Bowlesby were being honest with you, he'd say too. They don't know. My first reaction is, if you look at this in the proper context, which it's hard to zoom out that far, but if you look at it in the proper context, do you guys realize we're in the middle of three generational occurrences overlapping at once with the conferences realigning, in the middle of NIL, in the middle of transfer portal, in the middle of college football playoff expansion? All that stuff's happening. That's the craziest Venn diagram in American sports history. And so what do I make of it? I feel like I'm drinking water out of a fire hose. That's what I make of it. I have no clue. I have no clue when the dust settles. What I would love to do is, if you could give me a date, all right, here's when everything will be decided. Every conference will be as it's going to be. We've settled into all these other eras. The playoff expansion is a reality. What year is that? And is it something I look at and I'm refreshed and I say, you know, this isn't so bad? Or do we look at it and say, I miss the good old days? And by good old days, we mean like 2018.
Oh, so long ago. I'll add one on there for you. Another thing that's a part of that Venn diagram, the waning influence of the NCAA as college sports governing body. This is something that we're obviously talking a lot here in Knoxville. It sounds like maybe there's going to be some self-imposing of punishment on Tennessee's part for everything that went on in the Jeremy Pruitt era. And, is Tennessee going to be one of the last schools to accept any type of punishment from the NCAA? What happens once this Super League is created and it might not be done? What does the NCAA look like as far as are they the one even making the rules going forward?
No, this is why you don't take radio hits outside near a major airport, because the planes fly over at the worst time. All right, he's out of here. Okay. Believe it or not, when this news broke, I'm not going to say I immediately thought about Tennessee, but in a few hours, inevitably, you start thinking about the NCAA, and you think about their already slipping grip. This is not cliffhanger. These people are not equipped to hold on to the side of a mountain for very long. And so I think it's now an inevitability that, I mean, the SEC is going to be worth more and bringing in more than the NCAA is to begin with. It's such a tail-wag-the-dog scenario once you look at what the future of at least one super conference is going to be, that, yes, that splitting away is inevitable. Here's what I would love. I know that this is not the way the real world works, but what I wish would happen is we could just flip a switch and go into full street mode for a second and have Greg Sankey call the powers that be in Knoxville and say, number one, in retrospect or just in real time, I guess you learned your lesson. Don't ever report your own self. And then number two, how about this? We're just going to look Indianapolis in the face, and we're going to say, we don't accept whatever you're going to hand down. Save your time. And really, let's see how they respond. I know, again, I know that that's like a middle school lunch table kind of idea, and that's not the way the real world works. But if we just, if we worked that scenario out to its logical conclusion, does anyone think that there are the sharpness of teeth in Indianapolis at NCAA headquarters to actually counter that? It's almost like that's their worst nightmare. They're just hoping. They're like the antiquated authority figure that just hopes you're still fooled into thinking they have that kind of authority. Well, if they're not going to in the future, and we've got this kind of foolishness in Tennessee having to wait forever, seemingly, to find out what their fate is to begin with, why don't we just force their hand?
Yeah. Well, that's what Memphis tried to do with James Wiseman in basketball, but that was over a year ago. It's basketball where they still control the tournament. And, I mean, like you said, Josh, 2018, I mean, that seems like so long ago. And I think that Tennessee fans definitely would love to see Tennessee in the league take that approach. I don't know that UT administration has the backbone for something like that. Don't know that it would work yet. But, I mean, that's what LSU and several of these other basketball schools have been doing essentially anyway. And it looks like they might actually run out the clock on this thing.
Absolutely, they will. I mean, that's it. That's the game plan. Now, I'll tell you, you'd say that's a big boy move. You better believe it is. But I'll tell you, if we're talking about high-stakes poker here and we're willing to make those moves, one of the potential ways is, if you're at Tennessee, call up LSU. Call up anyone else that has a lingering cloud over their program, and then hit up Texas A&M and Missouri while you're at it, who may or may not be on board with this move to begin with, and say, there is one way that we can absolve all of our wrongdoing. Let's just blackmail the league. Again, this may be a fool's errand, but they need these yes votes. And so let's exchange our yes votes for them going to bat for us and wiping this slate clean. Again, very middle school in theory, but I would love to see it played out.
I don't know if it's middle school or very mafia. I mean, that's I like it. Kind of get the five families together and see if we can get the votes needed to push this thing through. Josh Pate, 24/7 Sports, with us here this afternoon. All right, Josh, you said earlier we don't know where this thing is headed, where the merry-go-round stops, but I think we all agree that this is just the beginning of the domino effect that's about to happen here. Is this all good for the sport? The thing we love about you, man, is you're just a big college football guy. You just love the sport that we all love. Is this good for the sport that we all love?
It depends on how you define the sport. I mean, you know, I'm a guy who has no problem watching Kansas State football and enjoying it. If you're someone who just tunes in for the big brands, then this is probably great for you, because in your mind, there's a train coming. We got a plane. Now we have a train. Let me close the door. In your mind, the sport's not going to be impacted all that much because you're still seeing what you tune in to see. I'm a big believer in, admittedly, some of the man-made barriers that we put in to protect college football. It's kind of like a natural preserve. A long time ago, the Alabamas and Ohio States and SECs of the world could have swallowed the entire sport up. I mean, that's always been there. Just like in a natural preserve, I mean, I could go in there and I could do terrible things to all the animals today if I really wanted to. I have the technology to do it, but we don't. We agree we want that. And in college football for a while, a long time, we agreed we want a world where Oregon State and Ohio State can coexist in the same pool. Now, we know one's a shark and one's a nice-sized trout, but they can still coexist. You cannot pull that off in this world. Once we got rid of amateurism, or we started to erode amateurism, you started to erode the last barriers that were in place that stood between a college football entity being able to do what Amazon does in the real world. And the Amazoning of college football, for lack of a much, much better term, it's not something I look forward to. And I don't care if it personally benefits me. It's not something I look forward to.
Well, everybody says that this is just, it's heading more in the direction of professionalization, and it's just going to be like a mini NFL. But the NFL, part of the beauty of that sport is they've figured out how to maintain this tremendous competitive balance where any team can pretty much win a Super Bowl. But they do that, as you know, Josh, through salary cap and the draft and things like that that maintain that balance. And you just, I don't see how you're going to be able to do any of that in college football. So there are definitely going to be some schools that get left behind and some big brands, too, that are probably sweating it, not just those schools in the Big 12, but in the ACC and in the Big 10 and, you know, the Rutgerses and Boston Colleges of the world. What did you make of Jay Billis's suggestion that the ACC should approach the SEC about a merger?
Well, I thought he might as well have been acting as a spokesman for the ACC. I hope they had him on retainer because, yeah, that does sound very convenient for the Atlantic Coast Conference. I don't necessarily know that it makes a ton of sense. I look up and down the ACC, and certainly there are some attractive programs there, but I really wonder, and you listen to Greg Sankey, and I kind of believe him when he says, we're taking Texas and Oklahoma only because it's there. It came up and it slapped us in the face, and we're not going to turn that away. I really do believe him, whether anyone else does or not, when he says, it's not like we were out there on the prowl looking for these programs. Just, it came to us. It's there, so we're going to do it. I don't know that they are going to be quite as aggressive in trying to go out and snatch up Clemson and Florida State and Miami in the process. I certainly don't think there's a cap on the 16 team. I think they have the ability to, but I think they're going to go into a wait-and-see mode. And that, you know, if you have, for example, a merger of a couple of conferences that creates a 20-team league out there, then yeah, I would imagine at that point the SEC is going to think it in their best interest to make a move. But that's why I hope that everyone keeps at least somewhat of a level head, because your only shot at getting to, I don't think we can get to four, but at least a three legitimate super conference model is for someone to voluntarily hit the brakes. That's going to have to be the SEC. Everything's working off the SEC. I think they're willing to at the moment. Now, you got to have other conferences not lose their you-know-what and at least keep some restrictor plate on the accelerator, which otherwise could go all the way to the floor and just blow the dam up entirely.
Well, Texas and Oklahoma were so much more valuable in terms of properties, and particularly for television, which is what drives all this, than anybody else in the Big 12. What do you see, if we're assuming that league is going the way of the Buffalo, what do you see as the most attractive programs out there if you are the Big 10, the Pac-12, whoever, looking to expand?
Here's a theory I have. There is no basis. There is no historical basis for this. If this comes true, it would have to be a new age concept. I know we're coming out of an era, really since forever, in this whole merger and expansion game where everyone's talking about media market, media market, media market. That's the only way going after Maryland and Rutgers made sense, for example, for the Big Ten. Well, we're in kind of a post-media market society now with the streaming age, and so it matters how many eyeballs you can get. It doesn't matter whether they're in L.A., New York, Seattle, or Miami. Just get the eyeballs. Now, having said that, there still are not a lot of attractive brands in the Big 12, even when you go by those metrics. But what I wonder is if somebody like the Big 10 looks at, let's say, a program like Iowa State, and they say, no, Ames, Iowa, close to Des Moines, already a split market because of Iowa, but what if we take the approach that the best football product, regardless of geography, is going to bring the most eyeballs if we invest in that model? Because that's where it makes sense to go after programs like Iowa State or like Kansas State, even, that is always invested in football. These places do not have 15, 20-year droughts in their future, I don't think. And so that's going to have to be the strategy. If that's not the strategy, if the old school wisdom prevails, I don't know what kind of world we could be in to where those programs have a seat at the table of a legitimate conference. They'll exist, but I don't know that they'll exist at what we would currently call a Power Five table.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what the one way to look at it is. They're all looking for this, you know, content creation, essentially. They're looking for more big matchups to get you to click on that app and open up and stream, you know, Oklahoma versus Ole Miss on the weekend or something like that. I look at it, too, and I agree with what you said about Iowa State. I think Oklahoma State, you look at Oklahoma State and West Virginia, Josh, if we had 12-team playoff all this time, there's a pretty good chance that both of those teams would have been in one of those things in the last 20 years or so. So I think they're actually in pretty good positions to find an escape route at some point if they want to.
I think Oklahoma State's a good example. I certainly think West Virginia is a good example. We were talking – well, I was talking to someone who had been in touch with ACC officials the other day, and they were talking about that. And there's kind of a split opinion as you would imagine. There are some who say West Virginia brings nothing to the table here and it only dilutes our revenue shares, and the more less valuable people who sit at this table, the less our share of the pie is, whereas if we can bring in a big brand, then it makes sense because a high tide raises all boats, blah, blah, blah. And then there are other people who say, but West Virginia's always invested in football. And so if we bring them in and we share our revenue and they in turn can invest in their football program, which they absolutely will, West Virginia football eventually is going to be a good product. Iowa State football is going to be a good product. Oklahoma State football. These are places where they have established a reputation of taking football seriously. And I really hope that gets rewarded, because what would really aggravate me to no end, loving the sport, again, more than a league or a team, is to watch that not get rewarded while these lackadaisical programs that just so happen to have been grandfathered into a conference or that just happen to be parked near a major metropolitan area, well, they're just in it because they're in it. Like, that's not a model I'll ever love.
Josh, last thing for you. We'll let you out of here. If you had to pick an Olympic sport to train for the next 4 years, we're going to give you all the resources you need to practice this, elite facilities, equipment. We're going to have a personal chef, personal trainer, and you got 4 years, the hopes of making it into an Olympic sport. What would you pick?
Power walking. Absolutely.
Is that a thing? I didn't know. Power walking?
Yes. I saw it the other day. The fluidity of these people's hips is insane. But the way I look at it is, pick something you've been practicing for a little while. And unbeknownst to me, I have been practicing power walking for a little while. Now, I got some stiffness. I definitely have to work on the fluidity. If you haven't seen this, by the way, I would encourage the listeners, find Olympic power walking. You're going to ask yourself, how sport, but I ask that about a lot of Olympic sports now. But secondly, you're going to ask, how does one become the best walker in the world? Everybody walks. How, it's like competitive eating. How do you become the best competitive eater? But the pack is even more close together in this than it ever has been in competitive eating. You've got one dominant eater. There is no dominant walker. It's just a huge, it looks like a swarm of bees, but it's real humans. And then apparently someone finishes a few microseconds ahead of the pack, and they win a gold medal because they can walk good.
Can you imagine what the temptation to run must feel like as you're coming down the stretch for the last 50 meters or so at that competitive walking track?
Well, I've wanted to look at the rule book. That's what I can't find. What constitutes a walking step versus a, not a running step, but a jogging step? Because that's what the sport looks like. It looks like everyone's on the precipice of breaking out into a sprint, and they never do. It's really, it messes with you mentally when you watch it.
Well, I guess the good thing about it is, you know, all this controversy about, oh, they build all these new stadiums for the Olympics, and then they fall into disrepair within a year after the Olympics. You don't have to do that. You just go to the local mall. They're already doing
you
it.
You got a sidewalk. You got the facilities. We're good.
Josh, good stuff. Go check out the Late Kick podcast. Josh Pate, 24/7 Sports. Good afternoon, Josh. Thanks so much for jumping on.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Josh Pate making his presence felt. And competitive walking. Nobody's brought that one up. I didn't know that was a thing. Competitive walking.
So that's actually an alternate event in the Army PT test. If you're unable to run, you can do a 2.5 mile walk. But you have to get in under a certain time.
Have you never seen them, Russ? They're hilarious to watch.
I'm looking it up right now.
1 foot has to be in contact with the ground. Is that correct, Bear?
I'm not sure about all the intricacies of the rules. I just know they look bizarro when they're doing it.
They call it the race walk. Is that it?
Yeah.
Here they are.
I've got to see your reaction to this.
This is Rio. I'm going to fast forward a little bit because they're actually having the full pregame thing. Those guys are moving pretty good. I mean,
look at the hip rotation.
That is, yeah.
It's incredible, isn't it?
I mean, that's jogging. That's how I jog.
What, just walking?
I mean, I wouldn't come. This is not like the mall walkers out there. I mean, this is a little bit more intense than that.
It's a lot harder than it looks.
You want to have let's have a competitive walk race here, Fan Run. I mean, that's something we ought to be able to get through with our entire staff without anybody suffering some sort of major athletic injury.
Oh, you'll find falling me passed out on the side of the road.
I don't think I could make it more than 20 yards.
I mean, this is the only – I mean, I'm watching this, and the guy leading the pack is from Great Britain, and the guy right behind him is from Kenya.
Kenyans are incredible.
I mean, the guy from Kenya has got to be a disgrace to his whole country, right?
Oh, to not be a long distance run.
Yeah, it's like everybody else is out there just killing the marathons, and it's like, dude, you're walking, really?
Yeah,
you're out there with a guy from Great Britain and Canada. You're disgracing the nation. That's pretty solid. Josh Pate with a great contribution here. Stay tuned. The drive continues. More Fan Run Radio coming up right after this. Fan Run Radio, the drive continues. All right, you want to jump on, take a shot now, 865-546-8200. We got a lot of guests on the show today. Hour three is going to be basketball heavy. Hanji Tamba, Tennessee's newest basketball commitment, 7-footer from Catholic, will join at 7:05 on the show. And then we're going to chat. 5:05, I'm sorry. Then we're going to, we're not putting in 5 hours.
No.
This afternoon. And then 5:20, friend of the show, Aaron Torres, is going to be back. He's got a podcast up with Rick Barnes that we're going to talk to him about as well. So a lot of basketball talk coming up here in hour number three. If you want to jump in and talk college football expansion, conference expansion / realignment, or you want to get in on the Rickard Ridge Barbecue smoking hot question of the day, now is the time. 865-546-8200. 546-8200. If you want to jump in this afternoon, and the Rickard Ridge Barbecue smoking hot question is, you had 4 years to train with unlimited resources to make an Olympic sport. What would you do? The speed walking one is good. I still think skeet shooting is probably going to be, as long as you can see, right? As long as you can lift a rifle and you have good vision, I think that should be the one, right?
There's a little bit more to it than that.
Oh, I know it's difficult. I'm just saying from an athletic standpoint, that's going to be like nobody listening to this show is going to be able to spend 4 years training and make the Olympic track team or swimming team or anything. Like that's legitimate athletic activity. That's hard to do. But some of these things it's just silly. Some of these things are pretty silly.
Like what?
Well, skateboarding, for instance, an Olympic sport.
That sounds like no, and that sounds like a trip to the emergency room for most of us. Waiting to happen.
What is the?
You think you get on a skateboard, Russ?
Oh,
I see you on a skateboard.
I never could do it really when I was younger. How about,
I couldn't either.
How about laser sailing?
What is that?
I don't know. Somebody told me men's and women's laser radial sailing.
Let's look that up. I think I could do the sailing ones. Laser radial sailing.
How about field hockey? You think you could make the field hockey team?
Hell no. Those girls are mean in that deal.
Well, they got men's, too.
Oh, laser radial sailing. That's like these little one-man sailboats.
Mm. 4 years. I give you 4 years to practice. You get the best boat, the best equipment, best coaching.
I think I could do it, Russ. I really do.
Think you could be a sailor?
Yeah.
You old sailor, you. Any thoughts on Josh Pate's? He's got a lot of thoughts on the conference expansion.
He started some kind of like family meltdown. I mean, that's drive level stuff right there with the wedding.
Instigating.
He's one of us.
People are beginning to warm to this. You thought I was crazy when I put it out. People talk about conference expansion. What about conference contraction? You're talking about the ACC teams wanting to merge, and he's exactly right. If you're Greg Sankey, you say, we're not going to merge with the ACC. If Clemson and Florida State wanted to get in, and we could somehow get them without having to take NC State and Wake Forest, then yeah, we could talk about that. But ACC folks aren't going to like that.
No.
And by the way, Florida State and Clemson would come. They would do that. And then what do you have there? Well, you've got a nice basketball league, but you're the Big East, right?
Basically. I mean, I'm all about going back. I'd love it if they everybody went back to their original conference.
But Josh talked about this. David Ubben talked about it earlier today. At what point do these schools realize, okay, this is all about content creation? Yeah, it's going to be Oklahoma versus Alabama. You're a no-brainer. That's going to be good. What about Oklahoma Ole Miss? What about Texas versus Mississippi State? Does anybody really want to watch this? And at what point do they say, you know what, why are we sharing our money with Vanderbilt?
You want Vanderbilt out, don't you?
No, I don't. I really don't. I'm a traditionalist. This is why I don't like this, because I could see this going in a route where it becomes the American College Football Premier League, and you're getting rid of some of these teams that some would say are bottom feeders. See, I'm like Josh. I'll sit there and watch the Egg Bowl. I will sit there and watch Ole Miss play Auburn, LSU, whoever. I'll watch Vanderbilt play Ole Miss, man. It's SEC football. It's what I like.
Right.
But I'm guessing I'm probably in a minority when you look at the entire nation. And all it's going to take is some of these Sankey types, the John Swoffords of the world, to say, wait a minute. Actually, what it's going to take is some ESPN Disney executive saying, really? We're going to have to play this Ole Miss Vanderbilt game right here. Nobody's going to watch that. It's like 50,000 people watch that. Give me, you know, what would be better. You know, what would be better is if we had Oklahoma and Clemson play. Oh, they're not in the same conference. Oh, we'll make it happen. It would be better if we had LSU play Ohio State, make it a conference game. And then all of a sudden you've got a super conference. And right now, I don't know that Tennessee's in it. And even if they are, I don't know that it would be a good thing. But
not right now, but I'm still holding out hope we can get this thing turned around.
Well, so am I. But the SEC, I mean, it's just it's never enough for these people. It's like Frances McDormand at the end of Fargo, love that movie, where she's...
It's a good one.
She's like, you know, there's... And for what? A little bit of money. There's more to life than a little money, you know. Meanwhile, Sankey's over there forcing the beautiful sport of college football into the wood chipper. I want to tell these guys, there's more to life than a little money, you know?
What do you make of Texas A&M's abrupt about face?
They realized they lost, and they're just trying to save face, and it's pointless, it's futile to resist, and so they're just falling in line.
Do we know what they said at their meeting last night?
No. So there's another one coming up Friday.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, wouldn't you love to be a fly on the wall for those conversations?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That was the other thing Pate said, that if you are some of these smaller schools, they would never do this. But if you wanted to get really gangster, you get a coalition of five schools, that's all it takes. Your Tennessee, Ole Miss, whatever, you approach Texas A&M, say, hey, like, we can stop this. It takes what, five schools to stop it? It's not going to happen.
Four.
It's not going to happen. But if you are one of these quote unquote middle class schools, your Ole Miss, Mississippi State, and you are worried about your position, your viability in a college football super conference on down the road, I mean, I think there's something to be said for it. It's something to consider for sure. There's no law anywhere that says you have to be you're guaranteed to be in the SEC for the rest of your life, and you're just along for the ride. You're Mississippi State, but you are going to get to ride Oklahoma and Alabama's coattails to $60 million annual paydays for the rest of your existence. Seems like a big gamble to me. Stay with us. Hour number three of The Drive coming up right here on Fan Run Radio.